time for our weekly visit with Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston. Hello there, Kyle.
Hey, what's up, Rich? How you doing, man?
I'm good, thanks. Big news out of the NBA just within the last hour here. First, the decision by the Bucks to boycott their game, and then what appears to be the decision by the NBA to show their support and to simply postpone the scheduled games today.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the league, understands the gravity of this situation and the frustrations that NBA players are feeling. It'll be interesting to see what happens with tomorrow's Celtics game. If I had to guess, I think that will be postponed also. But, you know, one thing that bothers me, Rich, is, you know, I applaud the NBA players for taking a stand and doing this. But this shouldn't be, you know, their fight alone. I'd like to see other leagues follow suit. I mean, because right now, you know, and the NBA is a majority African-American league, I'd like to see the NHL and Major League Baseball. I'd like to see, you know, a cross-cultural uprising about this. And so, you know, I tweeted it out just a short time ago. This isn't a black people's problem. It's everyone's problem, really. And I think, I want to make sure that the NBA players aren't, you know, the only ones, who are taking a stand. We need everybody's help in this.
Well, and again, this problem goes back beyond decades. When we think we've seen the worst of it, then we get a situation like this Jacob Blake shooting, and we realize, yeah, this is up to everybody to take a stand, and it's got to be something that gets the attention of everybody and wakes some people up to realize how serious this is. And you know, I felt like after the George Floyd shooting that maybe we had turned a corner, but as is so often the case, people settle back in and they forget, and the fight is left up to the few, when, as you've said so well, it's got to be the fight that all of us engage in.
Yeah, and you're right about, you know, the murder of George Floyd. Back in May, when this, protesting was at its height, I can't tell you how many people, reached out to me, asked me questions. But then July comes and August comes, the summers comes, and nobody discusses it anymore. And, I think, that's some of the frustration that the NBA players are feeling. They thought by going down to Orlando, being in this bubble, they would be able to impact some change in some way. You know, you see the names on the back of the jerseys and the messages on the floor and on the back of the jerseys. And, those are just words. It's time for action. And, I feel for them and I feel for everybody because, I sit here wondering, what more can I be doing? What needs to happen? What can I do? And, I think a lot of people in this world are thinking that, what can I do to help this cause out?
Well, and a good step, I think, first of all, is what Brad Stevens said. I just need to listen. Now, my experience is different than black people in America, but I need to listen to what they're saying so I can understand.
Yeah, but, it's interesting, Rich. I was up in New Hampshire today, and, I saw a sign. It was a political sign. But the message was, take back our country, our country. And so, as an African-American man, I see those words. And that just means, that just has division and written all over it. That to me, that sign is only meant to divide us. And unfortunately, a lot of people out here won't listen. They're stuck in their ways. They're filled with so much anger and so much hate that instead of actually listening and understanding and showing empathy and passion and feeling, for what someone is going through, we live in a time now where everyone is so angry that, we're doing more shouting and hate speech and anger speech instead of looking at our fellow man and trying to understand where they're coming from.
Kyle, are you shocked at how blatant some of this is when you hear people campaigning for national office talking about how they're going to clean up the suburbs and make it, it's not even subtle anymore? Does it shock you that it's right out there in all of our faces?
No, that's not what shocks me, Rich. What shocks me is that it works. You know, shocks me that these fear tactics, because that's what they are. It's designed to, stoke fear in people. And I live in the suburbs, you know, and so the fact that that works. I mentioned a few months ago, my neighbor and I got into a disagreement over stuff like this. You know, it's I hate to get political, but when you look at the conventions going on, one side is, to me, seems like it's stoking fear and trying to scare you into a vote, whereas another is trying to be inclusive and try to enact a positive change and a positive message. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me that it's happening. It surprises me that some people are actually being allowed to, you know, absorb that message and believe that message. You know, we can't operate on fear. I've said it before and I'll say it again, you know, black people, whatever color you want to say, I feel like we're all, we all want the same thing. You know, we want our kids to be safe. We want to raise our kids, have an equal opportunity. And, you know, unfortunately, in America, some people don't see it that way, which is sad.
Does it make you question who you can trust, Kyle?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And, you know, and I've never felt this way, Rich, and this is the problem. Like I said, I was in New Hampshire today, and, you know, I was actually golfing, and, you know, I'm wondering, can I trust the guy I'm golfing with? You know, and I didn't know him. I just met him today. You know, you trust, you know, people in your neighborhood now. You question that trust, and it's scary. And you know, I want to talk about the police department real quickly here, and I mentioned it on your show before, you know, so people understand where black people and African Americans are coming from. When I'm pulled over at 9 p.m. at night, 10 p.m. at night on a quiet road, the first thought that goes through my mind shouldn't be, let me call my wife so I can have a witness or somebody on the phone, right, just in case this traffic stop goes wrong. And I'm not saying it's always going to go wrong, but I'm telling people those are the thoughts that go through my mind and our mind right now. LeBron James said it the other day. African Americans, black people, we are scared right now. And the thing that's so amazing, Rich, is I think, you know, the issue, the root of the problem is for so many years, African Americans have been portrayed as violent, aggressive. And so there's like this fear the other way, you know, but really African Americans are the ones that are afraid. You know, it's, you know, I'm living in the suburbs and I don't want my kids out late at night. And it's sad that, you know, here we are in 2020. It's been a hell of a year, and we're dealing with this. And, you know, all I can say is I want everybody to take a look at where we are right now and tell me if you feel good about the current state of whatever it is, the pandemic, police, you know, brutality, whatever the issue is. Do you feel good about where we are standing right now as a country? Because I don't know about you. There's a lot of anxiety going on for me. I'm nervous. I'm frustrated. You know, it just doesn't feel like America is great right now, and that's sad.
Well, and I've said this before. I think anybody who's not feeling that, they're either not paying attention or they're too far gone. And I know the conversations I've had to have with my son, who's just 6 years old, but he sees things, he hears about things, and trying to explain to him where we are at this time in America, I can't imagine the conversations that African-American parents have to have with their children.
Yeah, and, you know, and the thing is, my kids are 11 and 8 right now, Rich, and children have such an innocence, you know. They'll play with anybody, and I hate to, you know, ruin their innocence, you know, but you have to have that conversation because it's not all sunshine and rainbows and lollipops in this world. And I remember, you know, watching the protest a couple of months ago with my children, and they were shocked that, not the protest, but that somebody would treat another person differently because of the color of their skin. And I mean, just think of how messed up that really is. And so you're right. It's a conversation we have to have with our kids. I will say children are resilient, and these conversations need to be had, to be honest with you, because, you know, as we progress in our society, if we're talking about change, obviously we're going to do our best to make changes now, but you've got to hope and pray that our children will also be able to enact some change and carry on, you know, the messages we're trying to get out there.
Sure hope so. Well, somebody's said it long before me, you have to be taught to hate. No kids are born seeing that difference and feeling that way. And so we've got to do our part, to, starting with young people, to reverse that process and get them looking in the right direction. But Kyle, this is a day that goes well beyond sports, so it's so good to get your perspective on all of this. We appreciate it so much, as always, Kyle.
Rich, thanks for everything you do, man. Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. We'll talk with you next week.
All right.
Kyle Draper, NBC Sports Boston on Downtown.